Well, good morning. Happy Independence Day. And we are seeing so much of what our founding fathers established dwindle away, getting ready to put on the Supreme Court a lady who doesn't even think the Declaration of Independence is any kind of guide for common law, and was rather sarcastic about the Declaration of Independence. But people, just open up any history book. Rise and fall of nations. There's nothing guaranteed that this nation would remain and a great nation and just follow the suit. We just didn't make it as long as some nations in history, and as we watch all of these things change. But as far as our enjoyment of this freedom, we still have the freedom to assemble ourselves, study God's Word as we see fit, and until that privilege is challenged, we shall continue to do so. So let's begin this morning with a word of prayer, and then we will go into song. So let's begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the freedom we enjoy in this country. How grateful we are for the men and women who provide this freedom. But Heavenly Father, we have a spiritual freedom provided by the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, the subsequent resurrection, ascension, and session of Christ to your right hand in glory. And it is in this spiritual freedom, Father, that we take our stand. It's in this spiritual freedom that we, willing Heavenly Father, to die if necessary for our witness of Jesus Christ. But Father, we pray now that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son and the power of your Spirit. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now, what happened was the British had captured an admiral of the America, and had him captured on a ship. And Scott Key was picked because he was a good negotiator to go over to the boat and to negotiate getting the dignitary off of the out of captivity on the ship. And the captain of the ship said, you just wait down in the gully, and because by tomorrow morning, your country, this America, will be done away with. And the flag that hangs over for Baltimore right now will not be there in the morning. So you just wait, and then we'll negotiate if we have anything to negotiate in the morning. And so they started bombarding, and they bombarded all night. And Scott Key looked up in the early morning just to see if the flag was still waving. And sure enough, it was. And in fact, one big ball, cannonball, had damaged the pole, bent it, but it did not knock it down. It knocked it where it was leaning like that, but it did not, and they, of course, did not win. And in that battle, but as he was watching all of this, caught with this emotion that it all may be over by the morning, and just looked out at the symbol of freedom, the American flag, and he sat down and wrote the Star Spangled Banner. So let's stand and sing number 512, the Star Spangled Banner. Let's all stand and sing together. Just think about it from his perspective.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, a couple of congratulations, first of all. Let's see, we have a lot of things going on. I want y'all to be just a little nicer to Steve. He's a little older today and got a little more gray hair up there. And so be a little nicer to him. And then I don't know if you know.
Is it 60, Steve?
Oh, I don't know if you know what you were doing 14 years ago, but I know what I was doing part of for today 14 years ago, and that was Tyson and Heather's wedding anniversary 14 years ago today. All right, so We won't go into what y'all did the rest of the day, but we know what we... And she's here with the new addition, Gabe. And, oh, look at her. Well, he's got red hair. He can't be denied. And, so that's good. All right. Huh? Bill and Pat.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
You were in that one too.
It's not on my list.
No problem.
That's right. I remember that whole day and everything. That was good. Yeah. Wow.
Three years.
And let's see. I got to wear my white suit.
Yeah,
so
did
Phil. So did Phil, yeah. All right, that was cool.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not going to say a word. I'll just treat you nicely. Well, congratulations to y'all and to y'all. That's very wonderful. And today is they're out of town, out of state, actually, the Daggs. But I understand one of their children's birthday is today. Which one, Nick?
Ben.
Huh? Ben. Ben's birthday is today. And so, you need to get with Ben. You all got a day in common there. And
how many churches got two guys on the 4th of July?
Yeah, yeah. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. So, and we got some wedding anniversaries on the same day. That's good. And
it's our dog's birthday.
Oh. All right, any other special acknowledgement for today? Birthdays, weddings, divorces? No. Why did you laugh so loudly on that? You know, they can't issue divorces on the 4th because all the public offices are closed down, so nobody can do that. All right. Now, in regard to some prayer requests, we've got a report. Now, you know that Nathan is in Afghanistan. And what?
Iraq.
Excuse me. He's in Iraq. And they just got a G2 report that to celebrate the 4th of July, that his compound is going to be under severe bombardment today. And they're under all kinds of alert. Of course, my view is if your G2 tells you that, you take planes up in the air and you bomb out their bombardment and bomb them first. It's that simple.
That would make too much sense.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, huh?
Profiling.
No, I'm doing my G2 report. Somebody's going to stab me in the back. I'm going to stab him first. And let's be in prayer for the entire base, for Nathan, of course, and the base. And we'll see you tomorrow what transpired today. And I would imagine that this type of thing is being planned by the enemy in a lot of different places. So just to make a little statement on the 4th of July. And so we need to be in prayer for Nathan. Need to be in prayer for Bill Hess, Donald Wise, and Sharon Light, all on the threshold of being promoted home to their Heavenly Father. Cindy Edwards, our member in Wichita Falls, Texas, requests prayer for herself and her entire family. And so we need to be in prayer for them. Need to continue to be in prayer for Jerry's dad as he recovers. Everything going well in recovery? Good. All right. Very good. And let's see. Deborah Tuller, we need to be in prayer for Deborah. She's expecting, and yet she's having some complications. So we need to be in prayer for Deborah. And we need to be in prayer for Edna. You're continuing to... You're fine?
I'm doing good.
What about the...
Oh, the head has always been screwy. You know?
I was talking about the result of the wreck.
Well, it still has some things that I've got to go a little bit longer on. It may take another 3 months.
Well, that's point of prayer. I believe in the power of prayer. So, we'll be in prayer. My goodness. All right. And Lana, I don't know how many of you met Lana, but she's been down with her back, bad back. So let's be in prayer for Lana. And need to be in prayer for her, down on her back. And let's see, is there any other prayer requests? Yes, Tyson. Wow. Absolutely. You got that, Leslie? Good. All right. I'm sorry? What was his name? All right. Any other prayer request? Yes.
I go meet with the doctor tomorrow.
Okay.
And to see...
Tomorrow?
Yeah.
All right.
So I'm nervous that he might not be American. anybody but we'll see.
Alright.
So, and then I'm going to have to make a decision.
I was going
to
say, you're in a decision mode right now.
Yes.
Okay. I need to be in prayer, doctor report, and the decision, guidance, and wisdom on making that decision. Absolutely. Alright. Yes, Jim.
Special prayer for Cindy's new great granddaughter born with that heart condition.
Okay. All right. Be in prayer for her. And we have a man named David. That's all we need to know as far as the name. Requested our prayers. And he's fighting drugs and trying to get rehab. So just be in prayer for Dave. That's a difficult battle to have to go on that journey. And yes?
Val and J.R. Stevenson.
Okay.
She has liver cancer.
She what?
She has liver cancer.
Liver cancer. All right, we'll be in prayer for Val.
She's still bad that they had to take her off the transplant list.
Mm-hmm. Do what?
They had to take her off the transplant list because it's so bad.
Which doesn't make any sense to me
whatsoever.
They can't transplant any muscle with cancer. Okay, because
it'll spread.
Yeah, okay. So that it's a waste of an organ.
So she's going through chemo, trying to get better so she can get back on the list.
Oh.
It's probably not very
good. Man alive. We should do all we can to keep certain people alive and pick up the paper and somebody's gunned somebody down. And life's gone that quickly. So, all right, we'll be in prayer. Thank you. Any other prayer requests? Okay, in regard to the offertory and prayer, and I'm going to put this in the back so you can read it, but I got the Risley Family Ministries monthly sheet, and it's real nice. I opened it up, and there's a picture of John Hintz. I'm gonna protest that we don't need to look at that mug. And John is responsible for the laser printing of their newsletter out, and it's very nice. And They have a spell preset, and a lot of our words are checked by Judy, John's wife, the spell check, and so we're getting fancy here. But just to kind of give you an idea, Courtney, as you know, has been going to med school, and so the above picture was taken just a few minutes after my graduation from the University of Montemorelos. Okay, Montemorelos in Mexico, in Mexican state of Nuevo León. It was 7 years ago this month when I first heard of the university and its medical school. I was then living with Amber in Homosia, finishing my high school requirements so I could be accepted into medical school in Mexico. I called the university, got information. I called Dad to tell him what I had found out. He was impressed with what I shared with him. Then he asked me what the tuition would be. It would cost us over $14,000 a year for me to attend. Dad was silent for a few minutes, and then he said, Courtney, that's more than our total offerings last year. I knew that money could be a problem, but I had seen the Lord provide for us in so many different things that I had confidence that it was, that if it was His will for me to be a doctor, He would provide the funds. Dad agreed. We made plans for me to attend beginning in the fall semester. Throughout the year, we had been ministering in Mexico. Mom and Dad had never presented specific needs or asked for extra funds for special needs. We all decided that we would not do so for this need either. In fact, the entire family met together, made the decision that we would all do what was necessary to provide the tuition. The date which I had to begin classes was August the 21st. On the August the 1st, we had recovered no extra money and were all wondering how the Lord was going to work things out. Not if the Lord was going to work them out, but how. To our amazement, God provided. The first 2 weeks of August saw more money come in to our ministry, and you were very much a part of that, to our ministry than the entire previous year. I am now a doctor, and all the tuition has been paid and provided by God Almighty. I know in my heart that the prayers of my mom and dad and brothers and sisters and you, our ministry supporters, have prayed for these funds. I know that I have never taken an exam that was not bathed in the prayers of my parents and those who prayerfully supported the Risley Family Ministries. I am truly blessed by the Lord. I know in my heart that all those prayers made my education possible. Thank you so much. It is our goal to be in, her and her husband, to be in Sonora with Mom and Dad by September and begin ministering in a village with them. Again, thank you so much for your prayers, and it is my prayer that the Lord will continue to bless. Then he gives a report about the printing from John Hintz's church. Let's see, a special teens love for the Lord, and they have a picture of the small group. You can't see, I don't know why I'm holding it up, but there's a group around the table, and the little girl has her back to us, but has a front picture of her, but this is what it says. I use the above picture in our letter to demonstrate the different levels of education that we routinely teach in even a small class. There are 7 people being taught in this class. Their levels of education range from total illiterate to a soon-to-be secondary school graduate. While we were teaching this class, the young girl whose back is to the camera would go up and move around the table, stand up and move around the table and help several of the ladies to write their answers in their booklets. The lady to her left cannot read at all, but was happy to attend class just to hear the teaching of the Bible. It was her first class, and Pat and I promised to go to her house later and present the gospel. Her name is Mercedes, and she is 87 years old and is the oldest lady in the town. The name of the, I want to read this because it's very important for their ministry. The name of the young teen is Cindy, and she drives every day to a nearby village to attend secondary school. Now, this is kind of cool. She does not have a license to drive, but she made a special arrangement with the police in the area to permit her to drive so she could attend school. Cindy was saved the first week we taught in the village and has steadily grown in the Lord. She loves to study the Bible and has never missed a class that was taught while she was in the village. Pat and I never begin our classes in her part of the village before 2 p.m., since that is the time she returns from school. After the above class was taught, Pat and I attempted to visit Mercedes, she's the 87-year-old person, lady, several times that day, but we never found her at home. We returned to La Capella the next day for supplies, and it was a week before we returned to Segaro. The first morning we were back, Pat was talking with Pantita, the mother of Cindy, making plans for the afternoon class when she mentioned that we were going to try to catch Mercedes at home so we could lead her to the Lord. Pantita broke into a big smile and told Pat that it would not be necessary. She explained that after we had left, Cindy visited Mercedes and led her to the Lord. There's a little girl in high school leading people to the Lord. She was so proud of her daughter, rightly so. What a blessing. We are so proud of Cindy and her love for the Lord. We both ask that you pray for her. There are so many pressures on the girls in this country. They have so few hopes of achieving anything worthwhile while coming from an out-of-the-way village. Please pray that Cindy will continue growing in the Lord. A call from the desert. A couple of weeks ago, Pat and I drove up to the house in Segaro, and two ladies waiting in front of our house, just standing there waiting in front of the house, in an old pickup truck. The ladies are pictured above with Pat. Rosa is on the left and Lupe is on the right. These two ladies told us they were waiting for us to get home so they could see if it was possible for us to come out to their ranch house and show the movie. They told us that there were two families living in the house, and they had electric. So we would not need the generator. They described their house as very large house. We made plans for them to come and get us the next morning. We would follow them out to their ranch. I do not know why, but Pat and I both got the impression that their ranch house was large and somewhat nice. We were very wrong. The ranch house was nothing but some poles in the ground with tin, old plywood, and paper leaning against them. It was bad. There were no doors or windows. Floors were simply dirt. They did have electric that had been run out to the supply the electricity to the water pumps. There were a total of 18 people living in this shed. And they have a picture of it. I'm going to leave it in the back so you can see. Reminded me a lot of Africa and of Mexico. I took the picture, but believe me, the picture does not do it justice. The tree to the right is loaded with chickens. As a chicken on this ranch, you either sleep high in the tree or you do not make it through the night. I would be surprised if coyotes do not enter the house and get any food that is left on the table. That evening, we showed the movie to a crowd of over 20. See, people, as I've told you over and over and over, and they made the point, they go where big charismatics and all these people are not going to go because there is no money. And these churches are not going to go into these areas. This is the people that they minister to. These are the people they bring into heaven. And, of course, John, in his good old fashion, he says, why are you bringing all these poor people into heaven? Get some rich people into heaven and all this. But this is the kind of people that they minister to. That evening, we showed the movie to a crowd of over 20. Some neighbors came, and all of them want us to return and study with them. We asked them what would be a good time to return to study for our lessons with them, and Lupe responded that we could return either before 5 in the morning or after 5 in the evening. Guess which one they chose. Again, I need to mention to you that we consider entire situations such as this as a direct answers to your precious prayers. And they do. They drive down and they'll see something like that, and John and I just see nothing. They see a mission field. They just pull and they'll go in and minister to those people. So before I go on, I should also mention that as many times we have shown the movie in the village, many people return again and again to see the movie. This is the movie about Jesus Christ put out by Campus Crusade for Christ in Spanish. Many people return again and again to see the movie a second, third, even a fourth time. They are hungry to hear about Jesus and His love, and they desire to hear it again and again. let's see. One lady named Pancha told us that she had already seen it twice, but every time she sees the movie, she learns something new about Jesus Christ. Please pray for these people who are hungry for the Word. Then he talks about the prison ministry that Grady's involved with, a man that got out of prison that's been studying under Grady, is just making great strides in studying and working with this. He talks about Grady's teaching in the drug rehab program is going well. The Mexicans who are going through the program are open to the gospel. Grady's developed a lesson that compared the addiction that nominated their lives to the addiction to Jesus Christ. Let's see, over the years, Grady has developed a faithful group of Christians at Waymos. It's down on the coast where John and I went. And they are anxious to learn how to effectively present the gospel to others. He has started a program there that concentrates on teaching the group how to bring others to Christ. Then there's a special request, prayer request. And I believe that those of you that know how to be filled with the Spirit by faith, they believe the power of prayer. Several months ago, we introduced you to Pastor Roberto. We found out about the pastor and his labors for the Lord from a family we led to the Lord in the village of Divisadores. And the young couple grew daily in the Lord for several weeks before they were forced to leave the village and move to a hog farm near Urus, where Antonio found a job. Several months later, Antonio came to our house in La Capella to let us know that where he was living. He was also wanted to get more of our lessons. He told us that he had found a church and a pastor who loved the Lord and had a strong desire to see the lost come to Jesus Christ. The next week, we visited with Pastor Roberto, offered to help him with some teaching materials. When he saw our lessons, he was so excited, so we left him a supply of Bibles and lessons. Over the past year, he has used our lessons and Bibles to bring many to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. At one point, he even got a village to open up the Catholic Church building in the town for him to preach. Remember, every one of these villages have a big Catholic church, but no priest. Just there's that Catholic church in the village. And it took all the money of the village to get it, but no priest comes in. So that sometime they'll allow something like this. Pastor Roberto is a true man of God who desires to see the lost come to the Lord and has dedicated his life to presenting the gospel. Let me drop down now. Pastor Roberto, Pastor Darbout, needs your prayers. He is now experiencing kidney failure. He is spending his nights on some kind of machine that is some kind of portable dialysis, and it is not doing very good for him. He is extremely weak and not able to do much at all. Please pray. The Lord will have His perfect will in the pastor's life. And and then he got a picture, let's see, of Summer graduating from college, and she's hoping to get into the ministry. In September, Courtney and her husband will come to Sonora. We have some needs that we're asking the Lord to provide. Please pray for God's provision in the service of our King, Bill and Pat Risley. So this is where some of our money, when we take an offering, is going, leading these people to the Lord, who are leading others to the Lord. There's just so much going with this humble assembly. We've got this great ministry, the young people That's starting to really pick up. They meet on Wednesday night now. And you know what? They're not very loud. I don't hear them. Of course, it takes a lot for me to hear them, but I don't hear them while we're in here teaching. And they seem to be growing, got some good teachers. And so we got the young people thing going. We got this going. We got our own ministry here at Outreach. So I'm just waiting and just stand guard, wise as a fox, that Satan's not going to allow this to continue, because we're teaching the truth on how to be filled with the Spirit. And even though we're small, and you'd think, who would even care about such a small group? But when you make the impact that we're making, Satan's not going to allow it. So something's, just be careful for some type of a being side-swiped in all of these things. All right, with these things in mind, let us... Yes? Judy. Oh, my goodness. Judy. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, thank you. Went in for an operation Friday, and it was a major operation, and took a longer to do the operation than what they had planned. And I talked to John last night about 11 o'clock our time, and she's not doing very well after the operation. They had to change her pain medicine to something stronger, but she can only be on that for 2 days, and yet she's supposed to go home today or tomorrow, which he doesn't think it'll be today. And so, my goodness, please be in prayer for Judy. I don't guess it's a private thing, and I'm not sure I understand everything, but her bladder and a lot of things are falling, and they're going in and strengthening them back up, and I don't know what they're tying them to. Maybe, you know, I don't know if she'll walk around like this, tying everything to fear, but all of that whole area is giving her a great deal of trouble. And so please be in prayer for Judy, and bless her heart, she's going to have to get right back to work and school here in about a month. And so just be in prayer for John and Judy as she goes through this recovery. My goodness, absolutely. Thank you. I'm just, wow, so sorry. So yes, please be in prayer for Judy Hintz, and make that part of your daily prayer as far as her recovery and gaining of strength. John needs her. So let's be in prayer in that respect. The Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. The gracious giver is defined as one who has personally accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, but not that only, but one who knows how to be filled with the Spirit by faith in the Holy Spirit. So with these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, we have freedom in Jesus Christ. We can experience that freedom when we truly walk by faith in the Holy Spirit, trusting Him to garrison us for the challenges of each day. Father, we thank You for this humble assembly. We thank You for the ways that You use it. Now adding to all of this a vibrant young people's momentum, missionaries, our own home teaching and ministry here. Father, we in the internet, where multitudes of people are listening that I'm not even aware of. So many opportunities that You're giving us, Heavenly Father. We thank You for that and pray You'll continue to use this assembly. We pray now that You'll receive the offerings that we're about to give, and that You'll just continue to give us the opportunity to be a part of the Risleys winning people to Jesus Christ and teaching them after they have become believers about the truth of the Word, spirituality, importance of the Bible. The young people, Heavenly Father, which is the hope of tomorrow in this country. So, Father, we just thank you so much for all of the things that you're giving us to do and to accomplish and to use us as your servants. And Father, we pray these things now in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, if you'll turn in your hymnals to 508. 508. America the Beautiful. I used to just brag about so much about Texas, and I even included the state, the landscape, and all of that, and the coast, and all that. After going to the Grand Canyon, you know, it just sort of, now all I can brag about Texas is the spirit of Texas, being a Texan. But after seeing the Grand Canyon, it just sort of put me into an humble place about the Texas, but America is beautiful. Let's sing. Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer. Purpose of the prayer is to test yourself to see if you're trusting His Spirit or the learning, lightning of the Word of God. Let us pray. Jesus Christ provided us with a freedom, Father, unknown to man, not experienced by too many. And then, Heavenly Father, He left the earth and sent us the Holy Spirit that we might walk and live in this freedom. Pray, Father, that Your Spirit will guide us this morning. Important things that we're going to be looking at in Scripture. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. 56 men signed the Declaration of Independence. 5 signers were captured by the British as traitors and tortured before they died. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned. 2 lost their sons serving in the Revolutionary Army. Another had 2 sons captured. 9 of the 56 fought and died from wounds or hardships related to the Revolutionary War. They signed and they pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. What kind of men were they? 24 were lawyers and jurists. 11 were merchants. 9 were farmers and large plantation owners. Men of means, well educated, but they signed the Declaration of Independence, knowing full well that the penalty would be death if they were captured. Examples: Carter Broxton of Virginia, a wealthy planter and trader, saw his ships swept from the seas by the British Navy. He sold his home and properties to pay his debts and died in rags. Thomas McKean was also hounded by the British that he was forced to move his family almost constantly. He served in the Congress without pay, and his family was kept in hiding. His possessions were taken from him, and poverty was his reward. Vandals or soldiers looted the properties of Dillery, Hall, Clymer, Walton, Gwinnett, Hayward, Rutledge, and Middleton. At the Battle of Yorktown, Thomas Nelson, Jr. noted that the British General Cornwallis had taken over the Nelson home for his headquarters. He quietly urged General George Washington to open fire. The home was destroyed, and Nelson died bankrupt. Francis Lewis had his home and properties destroyed. The enemy jailed his wife. She died within a few months in prison. John Hart was driven from his wife's bedside as she was dying. Their 13 children fled for their lives. His fields and his grain mill were laid to waste. For more than a year he lived in forests and caves, returning home to find his wife dead, his children vanished. Today, many of our leaders and multitude of people willing to give up their freedom for some kind of security, what they call security that is not secure. I know many Christians love to hear and read about these men and women and their sacrifices, the price they paid for this nation of ours. And they hate it, you hate it, and I hate it. We're seeing what's going on today, the documents, the slandered, challenged, ignored, even changed. We're getting ready to put a woman on the Supreme Court who does not think the Declaration of Independence is any guide, worthy guide to interpreting law. She's placed on the Supreme Court. Her decision, deciding opinions will have an influence for decades. But people, nations rise and fall. Just look at the table of content of any history book. Just sit there and meditate on it. And think about the rising of these nations through history. How great they became, powerful, and how soon they tumbled and gave way to the next one and to the next one. We have no guarantee about the nation, this nation's future. And as we continue to move away from God, the Bible, Jesus Christ, and certainly the Holy Spirit, it's going to get darker and darker. But what I want to do with you for a few moments, having read these, I want to look at a few martyrs that you should care about and follow, for their martyrdom goes from time to eternity. First of all, look at the martyrdom of Jesus Christ himself. A martyrdom that begins in time goes into eternity. A martyrdom that sets up our freedom, establishes our future. I want to look at some of the martyrs in history of what you and I call Christianity, what you and I call Jesus Christ. The price has always been high, and I'm here to tell you, it may get high in America. It may not. I'm not a prophet, but just going by the laws that are being passed, things that are happening to the divine institution of marriage and the home and freedom and the economy of this country, and it may cost for you to take your stand for Jesus Christ. Not your stand for America, just your stand for Jesus Christ. And you got to kind of think about it. Are you going to be willing to do that? In fact, human history began with the martyrdom of Jesus Christ. But let's go back even further. The first martyr. You know who the first martyr was? Abel. Abel was the first martyr, murdered by his own brother, who was jealous of him. So history started out with being a martyr for the coming Messiah. Let's just jump. We'll go back to history, but let's just jump to the time of Christ. Open your Bibles to Matthew 14, please. Matthew 14. How we love to read about and listen to the martyrdom and the difficulties of men that founded this country. Let's look at some who founded what you and I stand on in Christ. Matthew chapter 14. John the Baptizer was decapitated for political reasons for his stand with Christ. Matthew chapter 14, let's begin reading at verse 6. Matthew 14, verse 6. But when Herod's birthday came, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. All right, you can imagine how she danced. So much that he promised with an oath, to give her whatever she asked. Having been prompted by her mother, she said, "Give me here on a platter the head of John the Baptist." Although he was grieved, the king commanded it to be given because of his oaths and because of his dinner guest. Political reasons. Political expediency. You've heard of that. He sent and had John beheaded in the prison. He was already in prison, beheaded. And his head was brought on a platter and given to the girl, and she brought it to her mother. I think it's kind of gross. I mean, I can see asking for him to be dead, but this is all the time and frame of our of this time in history. Verse 12, his disciples came and took away the body and buried it, and they went and reported to Jesus. I just want you to note the effect of Jesus. Verse 13, and when Jesus heard about John, he withdrew from them, from there in a boat, to a secluded place by himself. Not to mourn John the Baptist, people. John the Baptist is in a great place. But to mourn what was going to happen in history to Jerusalem and to the believers. Another one. Stephen. Stephen was not a preacher, not a prophet, not a pastor, but a servant of the congregation. Just a servant of the congregation was stoned to death by a religious crowd. So Jesus Christ is a martyr. Abel is a martyr from a jealous brother. Jesus Christ is a martyr from political and religious crowd. John the Baptist is a martyr, political expediency. Now let's look at Acts chapter 6 a moment. Acts chapter 6. Let's read about this man. Became a martyr. And you think about your own self, where you stand. So the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, it is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. Therefore, brethren, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and of wisdom, doctrine in the soul, whom we may put in charge of this task, to serve tables. They want somebody filled with the Spirit and knows doctrine to serve tables. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. The statement found approval with the whole congregation, and they came and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit, and then he named several others. And they were brought before the apostles, and after praying, they laid hands on them. The word of God kept on spreading. This is a result of what the pastors were doing. And the number of the disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith. Now, again, when wonderful things are happening, Satan's not going to like that, people. I've seen this in churches throughout my whole life, my own church, throughout history. Satan's not going to allow this to continue. He has got to stop this kind of activity. And so religious people, out of religious jealousy, move against this Stephen. Look at chapter 7 now. If you want to read the whole story of this martyr, you can do so by reading chapter 6 and 7. But let's jump to chapter 7, verse 54. Just get right to it. 57. Verse 54. Or chapter 7, verse 54. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the quick. I love that. They were cut to the quick. They began gnashing their teeth at him. But being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed. See, what I'm going to show you is, to be a martyr for Christ, you have to understand the Holy Spirit. Being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed intently into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens open up, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. That didn't impress them. People like this were not, religious people, not impressed. They cried out with a loud voice, covered their ears, rushed at him with one impulse. When they had driven him out of the city, they began stoning him, and the witnesses laid aside their robes at the feet of a young man named Saul, soon to be Paul. They went on stoning Stephen as he called on the Lord and said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then falling to his knees, now here's a martyr, falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Having said this, he expired. So that's Stephen. Let me tell you one you probably don't know much about, and there's not much recorded about him. Look at me at Revelation 2. Revelation 2. Jesus Christ speaks of a friend who is a martyr. Jesus Christ speaks of a friend who is a martyr. Revelation 2, verse 12. And to the angel or the messenger of the church of Pergamum write, the one who has the sharp two-edged sword says this, I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, and you hold fast my name. They will not back off from their witness. And did not deny my faith, even in the days of Antipas. My witness, my faithful one, who was killed among you, where Satan dwells. So there was a martyr who was a friend of Jesus Christ that he knew. Let's look at some other apostles, some of the apostles. Look at the Gospel of John 21. Gospel of John, chapter 21. Verse 18. Well, I'm in Acts. I didn't think that looked right. All right. 21. Verse 18, truly, truly, I say to you, this is the Lord speaking to Peter. I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands. Someone else will guide you, gird you, and bring you where you do not wish to go. Now this he said, he, Jesus Christ said, signifying what kind of death Peter would die, glorifying God. And when he had spoken, he said to him, follow me. Now, the tradition has it that Peter died on a crucifixion. His arm stretched out as implied by Jesus Christ here. Tradition has it that he did not want to be feel worthy of being on a cross side side, so he had it turned upside down. We do know of a martyrdom of another apostle. Look at Acts chapter 12. The martyrdom of another apostle. Acts 12. James, martyred by a sword for political reasons by King Herod Agrippa. Chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Now about that time, Herod the king laid hands on some who belonged to the church in order to mistreat them. Is that impossible to happen here? Nope. And he had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. But I want you to note the religious crowd were behind all of this. Look at verse 3. When he saw that it pleased the Jews, the religious Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. Now it was during the days of the unleavened bread. And not recorded in the Bible, but tradition. Philip and Jude were both crucified, which would stand to reason. Matthew was speared. But people were told of other martyrs. Look at Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Being a Christian, people, has its martyrs. And all through history has had martyrs. And I'm like you. I enjoy reading about those men that paid the price for our nation's freedom. But people, we have something far greater than the nation. Jesus Christ. So let's look at Luke chapter 11. And let's look at verse 45. And I'll tell you, because some of you write it down. 45 to 52. Luke 11. 45 to 52. One of the lawyers, there you have it. Once you start with that, you know you're in trouble. One of the lawyers said to him in reply, "Teacher, when you say this, you insult us too." But he said, "Woe to you lawyers as well, for you weigh men down with burdens hard to bear." That's still going on in our current time right now. Congress and these people passing laws, they're not under them. They're not under them. But boy, they sure want to put the people under them. Burdens hard to bear. Let me stop preaching and just read the text. "While you yourselves will not even touch the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe to you, for you built the tombs of the prophets, and it was your fathers who killed them. So you are witnesses and approve of the deeds of your fathers, because it was they who killed them, and you built their tombs. For this reason also the wisdom of God said, 'I will send to them prophets and apostles, some of them they will kill, some of them they will persecute,' so that the blood of all the prophets shed since the foundation of the world may be charged against this generation," this ideal of this generation, "from the blood of Abel," there's your first martyr, there's the first martyr, Abel, "to the blood of Zechariah, who was killed between the altar and the house of God. Yes, I tell you, it shall be charged against this generation. Woe to you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You yourselves did not enter, and you hindered those who were entering." Now I'd like you to look at Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Another account of martyrdom for Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 11. And we're kind of pressed on time, but this is a history of martyrs for Christianity. And I don't think anyone would have any trouble if I were to read more the martyrdom of our founding fathers. So let's spend a few moments. Verse 24. "By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin." What about you? "Considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn would not touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land, and the Egyptians, when they attempted, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies. And what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Japheth, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release, so they might obtain a better resurrection. Others experienced mockings and scourgings, yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated. Men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves, holes in the ground. And all these were gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. I were warned future types of the sufferings that we would have to endure. You can read Hebrews chapter 10, 32 through 39. Let me read for you Philippians 1:29. People, you're warned that you might have to be a martyr for Christ. Philippians 1:29. For you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake. Acts chapter 14, verse 22. Strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in faith, saying, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. We've been very blessed as Christianity in America because of the respect of the Bible, teaching of the Bible. They took the Bible out of the Supreme Court, took the Bible out of education, taking the Bible out of churches. Things are going to change, historically. Matthew chapter 10, verse 21, and brother will deliver up brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rise up against parent and cause them to be put to death. I put forth for your reading on the martyrdom warnings, Matthew 24:9-10, Gospel of John 16:1-3, 2 Thessalonians 1:3-4, 2 Corinthians 4:16-18. But the question arises, why? Why will there be this suffering and martyrdom of Christians who do not fall back from the witness of Christ? Why is that happening? And why are we told from the beginning? Christ warned us these things are going to happen. There will be martyrs and suffering for Christ. Why? Look at the Gospel of John 15. The Gospel of John 15 that we're in the midst of studying right now on Wednesday night. John 15. Why will there be the suffering of martyrdom of believers and Christians and suffering through history? Let's begin reading at verse 17. John 15, verse 17. This I command you, that you love one another. Why? Since the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you're a Christian, they hate Christ. They're going to hate you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this the world hates you. Why does the world hate us? Because we're in Christ. Don't be shocked. Remember the word that I said to you. A slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. They hung him to the cross. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me, God the Father. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have sinned. But now they have no excuse for their sin of rejection. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would not have sinned. But now they have both seen and hated me and my Father as well. But they have done this to fulfill the word that is written in their law. They hated me without cause. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me, and you will testify also, because you have been with me from the beginning. Okay. We have a challenge in the Word of God in regard to all of this suffering. Let me read to you Matthew 10:28. Matthew 10:28. What happens if this does start happening to us? Not in Russia, not in Africa, not in India, but here. Do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul. But rather respect him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell, Jesus Christ. Isaiah 35:4. Say to those who with an anxious heart, and people, let's make no qualms about it. These men that I read to you at the beginning, they didn't just do all of that with a smile on their face. It's going to be anxious. Say to those with anxious heart, take courage, fear not, behold, your God will come with vengeance. The recompense of God will come, but he will save you. Revelation 2:10. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Do not fear what you're about to suffer. Now, what caused our forefathers to give up home, cases, their own life? Because something was more valuable than that, people. Something was more valuable than their home. Something more valuable than even their husband, their wife, their children, their own life. Let's look at Luke 14, please. Luke chapter 14. I want to read a passage that not very well understood and not very well liked. Verse 26. Luke 14:26. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters. Sound pretty tough, doesn't it? Now this hatred means in comparison to the love for him. Continue in verse 26. Yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Kind of asking for a lot, isn't it? Do you want me to reread what happened to a lot of the men who signed the Constitution? There was something they loved even more than their home. There was something they even loved more than their own wife, their own children. It was freedom of the individual. They were committed to that. They were committed to it. You compare the love they had for them, their own life, their wife, their home, their children, business. They're willing to give it up. for freedom. It comes to you and to me. How important is Jesus Christ to you? Is it more important than your home? Than your business? Than even your spouse? Even your own life? I pray this never happens in America. But don't be naive. Don't be naive about history. It's not that far back. In this very century, 100,000 Christians killed because they're Christians by the Muslims. So don't think it can't happen. You may have to decide how important these things are to you. And one of the great problems of the church today is the absence of teaching from the pulpit, but namely the absence of teaching on the Holy Spirit. I was reading Kenneth Wiest. Kenneth Wiest, a wonderful Christian scholar from around 1884 to around 1960. I had some quotes I wanted to read, but let me just tell you what he said. He said, if evangelists would be as inaccurate in his statements regarding the need of the lost sinner for a Savior, the work of the Savior on the cross, and the way a sinner must appropriate that salvation, if evangelists would be as inaccurate in those things as we allow ourselves to be when we teach the saints about the ministry of the Spirit, how many souls would be saved? Not very many. Not very many at all. If the evangelists were as sloppy with the gospel as preachers are with the filler, how to be filled with the Spirit, and in the middle of the 20th century, he wrote about faith, being filled with the Spirit by faith. But in seminary, I became aware of him in seminary, but he was never an issue. But men who never even came close to being filled with the Spirit by faith, those are the ones we had to study and take tests on and all that. Not men like this. So we have to decide, how important is Christ to you? How important is the Holy Spirit to you? How important is living your life for Christ to you? Is it important enough to change your life for? He writes in another place, for the Spirit is constantly exploring the deep things of God, 1 Corinthians 2:10. The Christian who does not maintain a real interest in and a hunger for the Word of God and satisfy both by a constant study of the Word is not cooperating with the Holy Spirit. And he goes through and talks about faith in the Holy Spirit. Times may get down to where you and I have to decide what's really important. What's really of issue? What are we really going to hold on to? We've read about men in our country. We've read about martyrs for Christ. So just bear these things in mind as we go through the rest of this celebration day and tomorrow. Let's have communion now. Let's have communion. I had another whole long... I guess I planned on being here 3 or 4 hours because I didn't get through with what I wanted to say, and I planned on an elaborate communion thing here, but that isn't going to happen. So let's prepare ourselves for the communion elements, and it's very important with the communion elements because we're studying the blood of Christ normally on Sunday morning, and we have that to deal with. But, as you know, there are two elements, the bread, which represents the Jesus Christ coming, taking the form of humanity, the body of humanity, taking our place on the cross, providing us with eternal life salvation. The cup represents the new covenant, which is the work of the Holy Spirit, whom God the Father also sent to us. Let's prepare ourselves for the communion by prayer. Heavenly Father, you didn't give us any whole lot of rituals, just one, a large table. And how appropriate to remember the cost of our freedom, the bread, and how to live in that freedom, the cup. So I pray, Father, that as we partake of the communion this morning, that we'll be remembered of the cost of freedom. To this end, Father, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. It is our custom that everyone hold the bread until everyone has been served. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, "For I received from the Lord to you that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" It is our custom that everyone hold a cup until everyone has been served, or we might take communion together. Will you please stand? In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the political economic freedom we enjoy in this country, the freedom to assemble ourselves like this, seeing and understanding the scriptures as your Spirit leads us. We are thankful for the men and women who have served in our nation's military to provide us with this freedom, right up to this very hour, where many are in harm's way, and maybe even particularly so on this day. We pray, Father, that you will protect them, prepare them. But Heavenly Father, we're reminded of a greater realm of freedom, a richer ground of freedom, an eternal realm of freedom, the spiritual freedom for which Christ died and rose and gave us. And as we think of martyrs, the top of our list are those who died for Christ. Those to whom Jesus Christ was more important than their own life. Pray, Father, that we might be caused to remember them, conscious of them. And as we seek to protect that which our founding fathers stood for and died for, even more so that which the spiritual fathers stood for and died for, the glory of your Son. So, Father, as we celebrate with family and friends the remainder of this day and tomorrow, certainly we're thankful for this country and its freedom. But I pray, Father, that we will also be caused to remember the spiritual freedom and those martyrs that we seek to follow. Those who died for the glory of Christ. It has been granted to us not only to believe in Him in eternal life, but to suffer for Him. And if that be the cost, let us be ready. Father, we pray these things now in Christ's name. Amen. Happy 4th of July. And we were going to sing, "Am I a Soldier of the Cross?" So hum it as you walk out. Okay.